God's got this, because I went through a period of time when I needed my faith to grow. And I'm going to tell you the whole story throughout the whole talk. But ladies, I've been traveling in the ministry for 32 years now, which means I've been a missionary. We have missionary support just like you, because we go to any size church. You know, that we can go to any size church. They don't have to have a certain amount of money they have to give us that or anything. We just want to be able to be a blessing. And to be honest with you, I like going to smaller churches anyway, because they make us feel like they need us more. You know what I mean? Big churches, they act like, oh, we don't need you. We got this covered. I say, okay, good. You cover it. I'll go to the small churches. I like it. But anyway, so I've had to learn how to live by faith, which means trusting God. And I don't know if there's anybody here under the sound of my voice that's going through a trial right now, but I felt like I was supposed to speak on this, so that makes me feel like that there are some people that you're going through a hard time, whether it's something with a trial with your child, you know, maybe it's I have a friend, I've got a special prayer list on right next to my desk that I pray every day for certain needs, and I'm going to tell you some of the different needs. There's a lady on there that has stage 4 cancer, and I'm praying for God to heal her. You know, she's a previous pastor's wife, and what a sweetheart she is. Then there's a man on there that's a pastor, just been pastoring like 5 years, and he has a glioblastoma, which you that are no nursing anything, you know that's really a bad cancer. And his sweet, dear wife has got faith that he's going to be healed. And I want to believe, and I try to believe, but it's hard to believe. You know what I mean? And then the lady on there whose husband has asked for a divorce because he's got another woman in his life. But she's fighting to keep their marriage, and I appreciate it, and I'm praying for her. And I got a lady on here whose husband, he's got dementia, and he's young, very young. And it's really hard. I don't know if another illness or disease that's more crippling than dementia and Alzheimer's, you know, and it's so hard on the loved ones, you know. So I've got all these prayer requests over here. And so I realized that all of us have to know that God's got this, that you are in touch with somebody that's in complete control of your life. Like this lady over here, I'm going to let you show that now. I forgot you. Can I tell you the truth? When it didn't play earlier, right, I just don't let it worry me. I just feel like this, God's in control, and if you're supposed to see it, you'll see it, and if you don't, it's okay. You know, that's how you should live our life every step of the way. Like those poor people driving 8 hours instead of 4. That was a hard trip. I related to you. I don't want to hear all the details, because I know how bad that can be. You know what I mean? And when she said that somebody provided to fix this, we've had that so much in traveling. But that's hard. It's really hard. But God, for some reason, let it happen. And that's what this talk is all about, is trusting Him. But first, we're going to let you see. And that's wonderful. So some people have signed up for it. Thank you so much. And if other people want to come talk to me about it after this is over, you're fine too. But I believe it's a ministry. And for those of you that you heard about the podcast, if you go on Spotify, CW Today is on there, and that's me. And then if you sign up with, give me your name and email address, then I have emails that go out 3 times a week, some written devotions, and 2 are audio devotions, 4-minute, just little 4-minute things, because I think our life's so busy. But I believe those challenges really help us to reset our attitude, you know. So those things are available to help women, and that's what it's all about to me, is just helping women have a better attitude. And I think when we have a better attitude, we have a better life. Let's have a word of prayer for this talk about God's got this. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for being our God. Thank you for being a supreme being that takes care of every facet of our life. I don't know how you do it. You amaze me, God. But I do trust that you do, and I pray you'll help me to get this across to these ladies, and it'd be a blessing to them and give them some assurance in this last talk. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the first thing I want to tell you is, when we talk about this, I'm going to start my illustration. About 3 years ago, my insurance man, who I've been with for 25 years. Now, you know, we have 3 rigs that's going down the road all the time. And you're not supposed to travel without insurance, you know. So insurance is an important part of my life. We've had insurance companies in these 32 years drop us. State Farm dropped us one time. And we drove around for 1 month. And that was back before they had email. You know, they notify you by email, and I got home, and I got the notification that they had dropped us the 1st of December, and this was the end of December. I thought, I am dying. You know, it made me nervous when I read it. And then after we had our major wreck in 2004, Progressive dropped us right after they paid off the expense of the wreck. They dropped us. So we've had drops. You know, we've been dropped before because people don't like us. I don't know. We're kind of nice. I don't know why. But my insurance man said, Hartford doesn't like you. We had just updated a bunch of information. I don't know if that spurred them to check on us and realize they didn't want to continue. We're too much of a liability. So that began a journey back. That happened in July. All during the month of July and August, he was trying to find people. Finally, he called me in July and said, Loretta, you got to start looking too because I'm not finding anything. And I thought, we can't find insurance. You know, how can we continue this ministry without insurance? You know, that's like when you pastors' wives out there, that's when you can't have a building. You can't do anything without a building. You know, you got to have a way. So that started this journey of, look, God, you got to take care of this. Have you ever been desperate like this before? Sure, all of us have. And insurance does, it seems so minor when I look at somebody that's got a glioblastoma. You know, it's so minor when I have a lady that says that her husband wants to divorce, you know, and they got a little child and she's just fighting to keep this marriage together. It's just hard. But can I tell you this? Let me assure you of something. God is great. That's the first point. Number one, God is great. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 7:22, wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. I like that when God says, according to all we've heard with our ears. It's a little detail that I love in that verse because he says, God is great. And when we start feeling down, we start wondering, you know, all during this time, I did this Bible study during the time when I was looking for insurance. I said, God, you got to take care of this, you know. And it was me that had to list all the things and me that had to take care of all the details of it. And I'm not really a detailed person. I'm a talker, not a detailed person. But I had to take care of it all because that's my area in our lives. And so I just thought, how can you take it? But I just kept assuring myself, God is great. God's got this. God is in control of my life. And he wants us to continue this ministry. So he's got to take care of it. The second verse is Psalm 104, verse 1. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God. Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and magistrate. He didn't just say he's great. He said he's very great. And some of us need to remind ourselves how great a God we have. We need to get excited when we think about our God. And that's what, when that lady sang about God never fails. No, our Father never fails. He is going to be with us. Now, part of that is our faith, trusting him that he will do exactly what's best for us. Now, for us that are control freaks, we don't like it. My insurance agent called me, I wanted God to take care of it just like that. You know, I'm just being honest. He don't do things in my time. You relate to that? Sure, we relate to it. But if we keep our mind on the fact that he is great, and he is very great, it will help us so much. Jeremiah 10, 12 through 13. Jeremiah 10, 12 through 13. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttered his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the winds out of the treasures. He is in control of everything. You know, that rain we had yesterday, I didn't enjoy it because I didn't like all the mud. Do you all like mud? No. But that was part of his plan for us, for some reason, for some way. I saw all those great people up there that serve us. Sweeping up all our mud that we traipsed in today. And I thought, oh, I'm so sorry they have to do that, but thank you for doing it so I don't have to. But that was part of God's plan for us to have rain. You know, that was what he wants for us. He is in control. Even in the New Testament, the Bible says in Matthew 28, 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. So if we sit around and complain and say God's not taking care of me and we get fearful about things, that's not showing any faith. You know, as we travel, I just can't even tell you how much. I have to just say, this is part of your plan, God. You know, like we got up Tuesday morning and there was one of our tires only had 9-pound pressure and it's supposed to be 80-some pounds. And so my husband and I took the trailer to go gas up, fuel up the truck, And when we came back, they noticed that there was a puncture in that tire. So we had to take the time. We were supposed to leave at 7:30, and we didn't get to leave till 8 o'clock. Well, I just got to trust God. That's part of his plan. You know, and that's not what we want to do. We get ourselves set on what we have plans and the direction we want to go. And I don't know about you, but I'm a planner. I mean, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow, the next day, and the next day, and I got a schedule book, and I keep all that. But sometimes God doesn't follow my schedule. You know, he allows things to happen, but that's, we got to realize it's all part of his plan. God is great. We don't need to be fearful about anything. You know, when I have to be honest and tell you, there are times when I get behind that wheel and I say, God, I know how easy it would be to have a wreck because we've had some. And I just help me to trust you. You know, there's a song that, Lord, don't move that mountain, just give me strength to climb. I sing that song to myself a lot. Because if part of his plan is for me to have a wreck, like if I leave next week and you say, you hear that I've had a wreck, can I tell you, don't feel bad. It's part of God's plan. You know, and I just got to trust him. And you've got to learn how to trust him. If you can't say that and think that way, this is for you. You've got to say, God is great. God knows me. God has great plans for me. And everything he does is part of his original plan. And you know what? When you don't have to have control and when you don't have to have things go in the order that you are, you're a better person. That's what I Die Daily is talking about. Do you know that skit last night? That's what Paul's talking about. I die to my will. I die to what I think should happen. And trust in him. The second thing I want you to understand is God is in control. God is great, number one. Number two, God is in control. Psalm 105, verse 16. Psalm 105, verse 16. If you are like me and you're a control freak, I'd encourage you to put these verses down. Put them on cards and put them all over your house to remind you who God is and who really is supposed to be in charge of your life. You're not supposed to be in charge, ladies. You know, and I have to be honest and say this to you. My husband, because it's God, then as when I decided to marry this man, you know, those many years ago, that made him my leader, and what he says goes. Do I agree with him? No. Can I tell you, when he, in 2005, when he wanted to start this carnival, I saw all the problems. And we used to have a trailer. We had a motorhome. We had a wreck in 2004, and so we bought a motorhome instead of a truck and trailer because the kids had always prayed for a motorhome, you know, because they thought it'd be neat to be able to ride and move around instead of sitting in a truck for hours. So we had a motorhome with a trailer behind it, and we had our book table and things in that trailer, but also we had a little car. Now, I like freedom. You know, I don't like to have people to take me places. You know, I don't like to be a bother to people, you know. And so that car was really a big deal to me. So when 2005, a year later, when he came to me and said, I think the Lord wants me to start a carnival, I tried to talk him out of it. Isn't that awful? I'm terrible. I'm just a rotten Christian because I knew what I'd have to give up. You know, I'd have to give up my car because that carnival went in there. So then I had to start getting rides with people to go even just go get groceries. And at that point, I was doing laundry every week off somewhere, and I had to get somebody to take me to do that. And it was a bother, but it was part of God's plan. And I had to humble myself and say, you know what? This is what I'm supposed to do. Do you know I even have people go to the grocery store with me, and they tell me what kind of bread to buy? You know, now you get your, I'd start to pick up my bread, and they'd say to me, you know, this brand down here is a little cheaper, and it was white bread, and I don't eat white bread. You know, I the whiter the bread, the sooner you're dead. That's what my philosophy is. Can I tell you, you're allowed to decide what kind of bread you, why can't I decide what kind of bread I want to eat? You know what I mean? So can you see what my troubles were? But you know what? It was God's will. And it's been such a fruitful ministry. God has used that to bring people in to be saved. And I fought it. And those of us, do you ever get scared when your husband gets an idea? And you say, are you really going to do that? You know? And then you start asking him all these questions to make him decide all the facts about this. Now, if you do that, you know, this is going to be this, and this is going to cost this. I'm the cost person. You know what I mean by that? And I say, well, now, if we do this, it's going to cost this. I just get scared. When people mention things, I just get scared. But that's because I don't trust God. You know, I am supposed to be the follower in this relationship and let him do whatever he wants. And I try to. But it's really hard. You know, I don't. But when I keep this in mind, when I remember that God's in control, it's easier. You know, it's so much easier. So Psalm 105, verse 16. 105, verse 16. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. God is in so much control that he can cause famines. You know, he can say, look, I don't want any. Do you have any rain for a long time? It's good for him. You'll look to me. Do you know in this political temperature that we're living right now, people are looking to God more than ever before. Do I enjoy that? Do I enjoy I'm fearful. I don't listen to the news very much anymore because I don't like what they say. You know, I don't like the decisions people are making. Like when you all decided not to have bags, I would be so sad about that. You know, I go to California every other year. I have to keep bags in my truck, and then I forget to take them in with me because I'm not used to do it, and then I just put everything in the cart, and then I go out and put them in bags in the cart. It's such a bother for a little tiny plastic bag. You know what I mean? So I'm sure you thought, but that's part of God's plan for you New Mexico people. I mean, you are supposed to learn how to carry your own bags. I even had to go to the store and buy one of those 8-gallon things for my bathroom garbage can because I didn't have enough of those bags. I'm telling you, it's a hardship on you. I relate to you. But God is in control. He could have stopped that. Whatever political, don't get fearful when you hear that that they're trying to take over with socialism. If we need a harder life to make us look to God, let's praise God. Do you know, in our ministry, we're seeing more adults saved than ever before. I think it's the hard times is what making them look to God instead of feeling so self-sufficient. And it's all good, you know. Now, can I be honest? I liked it a couple years ago who was in charge. You know, I'm not trying to be political here, but I kind of was comfortable. And I thought, good, get them. Go get them. You know, clean that swamp, whatever the swamp is. I don't even know. But clean it, you know. But do you understand? God is, you know, the Democrats think they're in control. But they're not. God, our sovereign God, is in control. We don't need to fear. You know, and as soon as we read something and it starts bringing that little edge of fear in my heart, I say, Lord, help me remember. You could make a famine or you could not make a famine. Next one is Amos 4:7. And also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So God can make it rain wherever he wants it to. Now, I know that you all have went through times of drought. And I'm not saying that to say, you know, God's not taking care of you. It's part of his plan. That's all I know is how to tell you. But I told you we put up carnivals for a living. We were in Florida one time, and on your phone, on the weather app, there's a place that shows it's dark and light, and it shows when bad weather's coming. What's that called? The radar. I never remember that name. And I can't find it on my phone. I have to get somebody else to show me. But on the radar, it showed this big front coming in on a Sunday morning while we were in Florida. Had all of our stuff all set up, and the church had advertised and had a lot of people coming in. And so we watched it. And by 12 o'clock, when the carnival was supposed to start, there was darkness except for one big white spot. And God had let it not rain in that one spot where the church was. Now, can I tell you all the other times when God let it rain on the carnival, you know? But God, that's God. And once we say, God, I'm yielded to you, whatever you want, you know, I'm going to die to my own desires, my own, you know, Mrs. Haynes and I were talking this morning about, somebody said to her, what do you want to do? And she said, I don't know what I want, because she's been so yielded to God that she doesn't know what she wants because she's always wanting to do what he wants. And that's what, if when you get to the point, ladies, when you say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. You know, and part of this is learning how to have faith. And that's reminding yourself the truth of who God is. That's what'll give you the faith that you need that says, I don't have to have it my way. You know, that's what helps you to die daily. Mark 4:39 says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. God said Jesus had control over the storm. And if some of you are going through a storm in your life, just hang on. And do like I sing that song that I sang, you know, Lord, don't, give me strength to climb. Don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. I don't ever ask for him to take things away. I just say, Lord, help me to know how to do it. You know, going back to the insurance. So August, what was I going to do? How am I going to get insurance? So I just kept calling people. And you wouldn't believe all the excuses these insurance companies had why they didn't want to. Some of them said because you park on church property instead of in an RV park, we won't cover you. One even told me because our rig, it's 28 years old. You know, that's old, right? It's not worth hardly anything now. But back then when it was brand new, it was worth $500,000+. You know, it's a real quality rig, but it's 28 years old. It's not worth that. So they even told me because it was worth so much when it was new that they wouldn't cover it. And I thought, all these excuses, it was driving me crazy trying to find it all out. So I was in a ladies' meeting in October, and so July, August, all through the month of September, we were trying to find it. And he called me, and I was at the book table, and I saw it was him, and I said, oh, maybe he's found insurance. I was excited in a positive way. Yeah, I am a positive type person. So I went outside and took the call, and I talked to him, and he said, Loretta, we just got a few weeks left. I've been nursing this along, but we just got a few weeks left. You've got to find some insurance. And I said, well, I'm at a ladies' meeting. I'm going to ask the ladies to pray with me. So I got to speak later on, and I said, okay, ladies, I got a crisis. You know, and I asked him to pray with me about it. Well, after I did that, then every church we went to, I started asking pastors, what insurance company do you use? What, you know, and I tried everything, but could not find anything. But God was still in control of my life. He let me go through that trial, if nothing else, just to share with you how hard sometimes things can be and how you could pray and pray and pray and pray and not see any answers. You can pray and pray and pray and say, I don't know how this is all going to end, and it looks dark. I have a friend in that's on that prayer list in another state that they sold their company to another person, and now the person's coming back and trying to steal the company from them, trying to bring up false accusations against them, and they've got smart lawyers, and it looks so bad. It looks like they're going to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I think, how could God let this happen? Well, I don't know that God's going to let it happen. It's not ended yet. I'm just going to keep praying and praying and praying. And they are going to keep praying and praying. You know that God is so much in control that he can keep me from sinning? Now, he doesn't do it. I still sin. Don't worry. I haven't reached perfection yet. But in Genesis chapter 20, we read the story of Abimelech. He was a king, and Sarah and Abraham were passing through there. Now, Sarah was up in ears by this time. And I love it that Abraham said, Sarah, you're so beautiful, you got to lie and tell him that you are my sister. I thought, man, if Kevin would ever say that about me, you're such a hot mama, Loretta, that you better lie because somebody's going to try to steal you away. And I'm thinking, he'd never say that. But it would be such a compliment. So I'm kind of happy for Sarah that Abraham thought she was such a hot mama. But anyway, but the Bible says in verse 6 that it says that, and God said unto him, which is Abimelech, in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. So he even had Abimelech not sin. Have you ever been in a situation all of a sudden God said, now if you do that, that's going to be wrong. He does do that sometimes when we stay yielded to him and die daily to ourselves. Do we believe the Bible when it says the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord? That verse is for us. The president's heart is in the hand of the Lord. It doesn't seem like it, does it? You know, some of the wild things they're trying to pass through, you know, all the bills. That, you know, I read some of them and I think, and then when I see people twittering about that, you know, that they think that this administration's right, I think, how could they see that? But they're so duped by the devil. But God's allowing it. That's all I know, because that verse says that. God is in control of every little thing. Deuteronomy 32, 39. See now that I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Deuteronomy 32, 39. Do you understand? A couple years ago, I'm going to be gentle about this because I don't want to give anybody a hard time. But during COVID, we lost a lot of people, right? It was, how many of you lost somebody during COVID? Lots of, oh my goodness. It was awful. It was sad. I had a dear friend that ran 5 miles a day. He was in his 60s, but ran 5 miles a day and still got COVID and passed with it. I couldn't understand it. I don't really understand. I don't claim to understand God. I just know I trust him. And when it says, I kill and I make alive, I believe that. And I think that people that did die with COVID, my sister was one of them that died with COVID, it was her time to go. It's just the means which God used to take her back. Now, it doesn't help the grief that you feel. And I'm being gentle about it because I don't want you to think, well, you just got to get over it. No, I don't think I should force anybody to get over it. You know, you need to grieve the way you want to grieve. And what's so good about our God is he understands our grief. You know, the Bible says Jesus is a man of sorrows. He understands your grief. So, but I do want us to understand that if I get on the airplane tomorrow and I get COVID and I die next week, it was part of his plan. It wasn't just because I got COVID. That's what we got to make up our minds. When it's your time to go, it's your time to go. And he kills and he makes alive. We just got to trust him with that. Exodus 4:11 says, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Have you ever seen a crippled child? And you think, why did they have to be crippled? You know, he said, I made the dumb, the deaf. You know, that's who God is. He's got, it's part of his plan. I have friends that are, they're going to have their children in their homes the rest of their lives because of the handicaps that they have. That's part of what God planned for them. And that's what, we just got to trust him. Proverbs 20, verse 24 says, and man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Man's goings are of the Lord. Every way I go, it's of the Lord. And when I'm trusting in him, I can accept it and I can be happy realizing that God's got this. Well, we were in Shelbyville, Tennessee, finally, the last week in October. And remember, my insurance man called me 2 weeks before and said, hey, it's just weeks away, and they're going to drop you, and you aren't going to have. And I thought, we're just going to have to leave the rig sitting still and go find insurance for a truck, at least be able to drive some. We didn't know what we were going to do. Now, can I tell you, my husband didn't worry one bit about this. And I fussed at him a little bit. I said, how come you're not with me and worrying about this? And he said, I don't need to. You worry enough for the both of us. Which is true. So we're in Shelbyville, Tennessee, doing a school revival. Kevin and I both spoke that morning at a school chapel. And then we left to go do something. He was supposed to come back to do a combined chapel. So we were driving through the main street of Shelbyville, Tennessee, which is just four-lane. You know, right down the main street. We were going this way, and a car pulled out in front of us. And Kevin was, he reacted. We were in an excursion, a 2004 excursion. You know, that's like a tank. You know, them 2004s, they're not made of plastic. You know, it's real metal. And so anyway, we were in our 2004 excursion at that point. And so the car hit us back where the passenger seat was, you know, back behind me. And so it spun us around. We went 180 degrees, and we were going, you know, turned back around the same way that we had been going. And so we were turned there, and it all stopped. And I said, I get to call the 911. I'd never done that before. You know, I try to find good in every situation in life. So I thought this was fun. So I called 911. So I said, yes, we've just been in an accident, you know, and it was just so fun. And she said, well, where are you? I said, we're in Shelbyville on Main Street. She said, Main Street's a long place, ma'am. Can you tell me where? And I said, I don't know what the address is. I don't see any numbers around here. And I just told her the name of the station that we were by. And she said, okay, I know where it is. And she said, if nobody's hurt, can you get off of the road so the traffic can keep going? I said, well, I don't think we're hurt, so we'll do that. So we pulled in that gas station, and I had visions. You know, this guy's going to take care of the bump. You know, my husband's such a perfectionist. He can't stand little nicks in our vehicles. You know, like the front of our motorhome, it has a lot of they have a plastic coating they put on vehicles, and it got all these scars on it, and it looked terrible. So he bought it a bra. That's what it's called, a bra. It's a black thing that they snap on it, and it covers up all the ugly. It was only $500, which painting it was going to be $5,000, so I was happy with a bra. But anyway, so and this is my problem. I don't know if you relate to me, but as soon as something happens, I start calculating what all is going to happen, you know. And I thought, oh, no, we've had a wreck. The insurance doesn't even like us now. And so now we got, you know, and so I said, hey, that guy, he'll take care of it. So my husband got out, and it was a drizzle of rain. So he got out in the rain, and he started pushing that car back in there. It was just a little car, and it was smashed. I mean, when you hit a real metal vehicle and you're in one of those plastic things, it was just in pieces all over the place. I felt sorry for the guy, and he was crying. Isn't that awful? A grown man crying. I thought I could be crying, too, if I know what I know now. But anyway, so he was crying, and I thought, this is so sad. So I'm sitting in there in the drizzle rain, and the policeman comes up, and he comes right next to Kevin and starts talking to him. He said, I have some bad news. And I thought, oh, yeah, of course you do. This is part of God's plan, another trial with insurance. It has to be with insurance, too. He said, that man doesn't even have a license, much less any insurance. You know, he's got to go to jail, and he was leaving here to go to his wife, who's in the hospital. And I are you all like me? I doubt people. I said, yeah, that's just a story he's telling him. No, I did think that at first. I said, Loretta, stop it. You're a bad woman, bad, bad, bad woman. Just trying to get the sympathy of the policeman. You know, I didn't say that to the policeman, but I did sure think it. Boy, I don't know about you, but I think a lot, and I'm glad I don't say everything that I think, because it'd reveal how really bad I am. But anyway, so he said that, and I said, and I honestly went like this. I said, oh, now we got this bump on this driver's, on the passenger back, and Kevin's going to hate that, and oh, you know, and so. And so then the policeman said, now, are any of you injured? And I said, well, I might have been if he'd had insurance. You know, I might have something on my neck, but since he don't, it's okay. That's what I said to him. And he laughed, and I appreciated him laughing because I was trying to be funny. So we left there, you know, heartbroken that we had a ding in our vehicle, and that poor man was going to jail and all this stuff. And we went back, and Kevin had to, by that time, we had to get back, and he had to do chapel. So we went there, and in order for me, I am blessed because I write these books, and people actually buy them. I mean, I don't even know why, but they do. So I have to go to the post office a lot. So I got in the excursion and went to the post office. Now, when I got to the post office, ladies, I just was up to here with insurance problems. Do you know what I'm saying? I just said, and I sat there in the post office parking lot, and I had to get away because my motorhome was the hub where people just walk in. It's like an office. They just walk in and whatever you want, and I didn't want my family to see how I'd lost faith. You know, I was ashamed of myself. So I went to the post office, and I sat there, and I was just crying. Now, in order for me to get anywhere, I have a GPS holder, and I use my phone, and shows me the way because I'm always in a different area all the time. So I was sitting there and I was crying and fussing at God and saying, God, now we got this wreck and we can't even turn it in. If we turn it in, it'll make it even worse for Hartford. They'll probably drop us just like that. And I was just saying, why can't you take care of this insurance, God? And I was just beside myself with grief because I was tired of it. You get tired in a trial? I don't know about you, but I did. And I'm ashamed to tell you how much I sat there and cried. And I bet all those people that were coming out of the post office saw this lady sitting there crying and said, she must have really got some bad news, you know, in her mail. But I didn't care about those people. I didn't know them. But I was just so distraught. And remember that ladies' meeting that I was at in October 2 weeks ago? A man came up to me and said, you know, you might try this company. They're an individual, you know, and so I just, anybody told me somebody, I just sent them all our information and to see if it was. And this guy's name was Fred, and he took all my information, but I never expected hearing back. And if I did, I expected to be negative because that's all I'd heard. Do you get like that? It's never going to be ending. It's never going to be fixed. It's always going to be this bad. But I forgot how God was. I forgot how in control he was. So I'm sitting there in the driver's seat and I'm crying, and all of a sudden, ding, a notification comes on my phone. I said an AOL mail had come from this Fred guy. And I did what you do, curiosity, maybe there's something here. So I pushed it, and he said, I found you insurance. I said, God, and then I started crying because I'm such a wretch. I'm sorry I doubted you, and I'm sorry I didn't remember that you're in control, and I'm sorry I didn't remember that you've got this, and forgive me. And, you know, and then I was mad at myself. You ever get mad at yourself because you don't have any faith? Well, but you know what? God is so loving. And this is what I've gotten from God as my Heavenly Father. He knows I'm dust. He knew that day when I got up I was going to break. And he was not upset with me about it. Because he's got this kind of love that accepts every little weakness that I have. He understands me. And some of you that get upset with yourself, can I say this? You don't get upset. Just say, God, you know me. Forgive me for being who I am. And then I sat there for a little bit and just kept rejoicing and fussing at myself for getting upset and to asking God to forgive me for getting upset. But can I tell you, God is great. God is always in control, and this is my conclusion. Romans 11, I want you to actually open your Bible to this. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. For those of you that are going through a trial right now, and I sense that there are some of you, I don't know what kind of trial it could be, but this is a section of verses that you should put up in your house and read it on a daily basis. Romans 11, 33 through 36. Romans 11, 33 through 36. I want you to read it out loud with me, okay? On the count of three, you start reading. Romans 11, verses 33 through 36. I still hear rustling of pages. It says, 1, 2, 3. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Stop right there. His judgments. Do you trust God that he does things and it's only things that he thinks good for you? I do not understand why it took y'all 8 hours, but I do trust God. It was part of his plan. I don't know why. And I can be a little Pollyanna about it and say, well, God probably helped you miss a wreck. I don't know, but I just trust him that it was part of his plan. It was for your good. Those you that didn't get the pie, it was good for you. I just want you to know that. Do we really believe like that? Do you know that's childlike faith? That's we got to realize that he has the best judgment. Let's go back to verse 34. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Say that verse 36 again with me. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Everything is from him, for him, and through him. It's Father filtered. That's what you got to think. So every little thing that happens in your life, when you say, God, this is from you, and please help me to trust you. I'm reminded of the story in Mark chapter 9 where the man, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. He wanted his daughter to be healed, but he didn't know how to believe. And I can't tell you how much I say that verse out loud to God and say, I believe, but I don't know how to believe. You know, I got this much belief, but I need this much. Some of you might be going through a trial that you need this much belief. But can I tell you, God, through him, of him, everything, you can trust him. I believe that. The next verse is Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I want you to open that because we're going to read that out loud together. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. I'm going to give you a little background on this verse. When we had the wreck in 2004, I think I had read this verse before, but I'd never taken it as my own. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. And when I was going through, after we had the wreck, I was healthy and fine, but my husband had been injured in the wreck, so he was in the hospital, and I was constantly having problems. The insurance company said they didn't have any policy for us. So I had to go through the wreckage and go through all these wet pieces of paper because it was a wreck during the rain. I had to find the policy number on it because everything we had was in the motorhome, so all the paperwork was there, so I had to go through it. It was just a trial. We didn't have insurance. We have Samaritan Ministries for our insurance, and the hospital didn't recognize Samaritan Ministries. Every day the doctors coming in and said, you don't have any money. I don't know how you could stay here, you know, because it didn't look like insurance to them. It was just a trial. It was so hard. So a lady sent me these verses. Now let's read them out loud, and I'll tell you more about it. Isaiah 55, 8, 9. On the count of three, you start reading with me. 1, 2, 3. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So this is what I'm saying to you. When she sent this to me, I said, you know, I don't understand why God allowed us to have this wreck, but his ways are better. Now, I do not do any crafts. I'm not a crafty person. I'm not artistic. You know, I draw stick people and they look funny. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not artistic. You know, I can type anything. I can write. I can do all that. I can talk. I can really talk good. But crafts are not my thing. But at some point in my life, I did do some cross stitching. Okay? Now, how many of you do cross stitching? You know what that is, where you make it has a blue picture and you use all these different colors to make it pretty, you know? Well, now, I'm sure, dear lady here, you look like you're put together pretty good. So I'm sure when you do cross stitching, when you turn over in the back, it looks pretty good. My cross stitching, it's got lines going all over here. You know, it's a utter mess. And I've already decided when I don't have a lot to do that I might take up cross stitching again, just for the good of it. You know, it might be good for my character. I don't know. But anyway, but one of the things that I have realized about cross stitching is the side that you view looks beautiful. But when you look on the backside, it looks terrible. So that's what I picture Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. He looks down, and it's a beautiful picture of your life and what he has planned for you and how it's going to go. It may not look beautiful. You might be suffering. You might still be grieving. And so much so that your heart aches. But it's beautiful. It's a plan that he has. And it's for our good. He only does those things that are for our good. I promise you, you can trust him. But when we look up, all we see is that mess, especially my side. If it was my cross stitching, it would be such a mess. But can I tell you that? My thoughts are not your thoughts. I remind myself all the time, God, I don't understand this. This is not the way I would do it. But I'm going to trust you because your ways are better than my ways. Your thoughts are better than my thoughts. So my conclusion, ladies, for all of us is God's got this, and all you have to do is trust him. And if you will trust him, he'll take care of whatever it is that's going on in your life. I don't know that he'll always answer the way you want him to answer, but you can trust him that it's only for your good, and it's only for the best for you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for these ladies and the chance I've had to share your goodness and who you are. I pray, Lord, that somebody out there that is going through a rough time, that they'll realize, some of them that are very fearful about something that's going on in their life right now, they'll just say, you know what, I'm going to give this to you, God. And then they'll take it back, and then they'll give it again and just keep giving it back to you and try to learn how to trust you, because you are a great God, and you are a God that's in complete control of our lives. Now, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, who'd say to me, Loretta, I am going through a tough time. I do have a trial that I need to trust God in. I need God in such a special way right now. Anybody like that? I'm going to pray for you. Oh, look at the sea of hands. Oh, I didn't know. But can I tell you, I know God does. And I don't understand how God can be a part of every little intricate part of each of our individual lives, but he is able. He's omnipresent, omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. Now, the next question I have, those of you that are sitting out there and you do not have peace in your heart, you do not know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, can I tell you that the first step of having this faith that I'm talking about is trusting him for your salvation? Now, if you're sitting out there and you're depending on, oh, I said a prayer years ago, or I go to church, or I'm a good person, or I, whatever it is you think you've done, the only way that you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die is when you put your faith and trust in him only. And sometimes you need somebody to explain that to you. So I'm asking this crowd right here, How many of you out there, you absolutely know for sure that if this building were to fall in right now and all of us were to die because of it, you know for sure you'd go to heaven. Who can raise your hand? You got that confidence. You know positively that you're going to go to heaven when you die. Wonderful. I'm so glad. Put your hands down. Now, if you were out there and you heard me say all that and you said, I don't really have that peace. This is a peace. This is an I know God. I know he can take care of me. I know he's going to take me to heaven when I die. If you don't have that peace, can I ask you to raise your hand and let me know? Say, Loretta, I don't have that peace. I don't know for sure I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Wow, I see a hand. Anybody else? This is the time to get it fixed. Anybody else want to raise a hand? You say, I don't know for sure. Oh, good, another hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be worried that anybody's going to think anything. We just care about you. There's a third hand. Now, put your hands down. Those of you that you raised your hand because you don't know for sure you're going to go to heaven when you die. Will you, ladies, look up at me. Don't keep your head bowed. Not just the ladies that raised their hand that don't know for sure they're going to go to heaven when they die. I'm going to ask you to do something that's really hard. Can I tell you, I know it's hard because you're admitting this in front of a group of people. But I'd like you to stand up and go to the back of the room back there. And we're going to ask Miss Fabby to go back there. Is she in here? Is she in here? Fabby? No? How about, there she is, there she is. And could have another soul winner go back there? And would you talk to them about their salvation? You three that raise your hand, please, just go to the back. I'm not even going to ask you to come up front in front of everybody. Just go back there and let them show you in the Word of God how you can have that peace in your heart, know for sure you're going to heaven. And you ladies, if you know what church they're from, if you want to get their pastor's wife, that's fine too. I saw two other hands. Won't you go? Please don't leave this room and not have that peace in your heart. If you don't know for sure you're going to go to heaven, we want you to have that peace. That'd be the greatest thing that could happen during this conference is if you would get that peace in your heart. Okay? If you don't want to go, that's fine. But if you want to talk to somebody, let me encourage you, talk to somebody after this is over. They'd love to share in the Bible and help you to get that peace. Now, those of you that we've talked about having this peace, about trusting in him, and if you have a trial right now you're going through, I'm going to ask you to take a few minutes during this invitation to pray and ask God to help you to see his ways are better than your ways. Help him to ask him to help you to know how to trust him more. Father, please help us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand. The music's going to play. If you want to talk to God, kneel at your seat, come up to the front, whatever you want to do. Maybe you want to come up and ask him to help you in one of the talks that you've heard about irritation. Help you with your problems, whatever it is. If you need more faith, ask him to show you. Don't ask him to take away the trial. Ask him to give you strength to go through the trial. Whatever you need, we want you to do it. God's got this. God loves you. You are special to him. be seated. Miss Haynes, I didn't ask if I could do it, but she sort of lets me do whatever I want. So,